Good morning, church.
It's a privilege for us to be here this morning. Greetings from Colombia, Barranquilla. We are in the north coast there. And as the pastor said, we are working with leaders, with churches in the whole Colombia. And Daniel is going to share a bit more about our ministry, and I will continue.
So if you can imagine a tree, sometimes the church is pictured in the scriptures as a tree. So our calling, Helen and I, is to picture these local churches wherever they are in difficult contexts in our country and look at how that tree can grow integrally and holistically. So our ministry is to bring resources, to inspire, to equip, to connect churches and leaders all over Colombia so they can develop the vision that the Lord has given to them. As Pastor were mentioning, there are a lot of activities and strategies that the church dreams about in how they can impact their communities. If you grow as a Christian in a country like Colombia, you are definitely challenged to see, okay, so if the gospel is true, well, how does that reflect in our reality? And many of the churches over there, they dream, they have so many resources, people with a heart to serve, but sometimes they don't know how to start. They don't know where to find resources. And Helen and I, our particular calling is to connect with them and, again, inspire, walk with them sometimes, cry with them sometimes as well. And in this way, we have seen how the Lord has provided to his church elements and things so they can impact their communities. And we have seen how these local churches, as the kingdom seeds, they grow and slowly start to transform and impact their environment wherever they are. So Helen is going to explain a bit some of the initiatives we have been doing in the past years that we would love to share, because you have been an integral part of this growth as well.
Yeah, so our ministry is called doulos, and doulos is a Greek word that means servant. And we've been serving not alone. We are serving with different leaders and through different initiatives. One of the initiatives, it's called Campfire. And Campfire involves the young people. So what we are doing through Campfire, it's unite young people from Colombia, young people from Canada or the States. They work together to serve other people. We develop camps in English, and you would say, in English, that is normal here. But well, in Colombia, our first language is Spanish. So this is a way for both Colombian to learn English and for the Canadian to teach English and to be immersed in our culture. So we develop these camps in Barranquilla, our city, and now it is expanding to other cities. So if you are here and you are like thinking, I would like to serve the Lord in other country, this is an invitation for you. You can come and serve with us at Campfire. So we have three programs there. We have the camps, we have Reach, which is a special program for Canadians and Colombians to spend some time in Colombia and develop Campfire. And then we have conversational clubs. This is every week. It's a space for people in general to learn English every week in a cafe or in a house. So it's a space to learn English, basically. And the other initiative is called New Life Store. And New Life Store, it's with women. And we are working with 10 women right now from Barranquilla. These women are single mothers or migrants. And what we approach with this program are three things. The first one is to encourage the local church, schools, or individuals to donate secondhand clothes. And we collect these clothes every month and organize them in a way that are like new. We tag them, and these women that are part of the project come every month and they find a lot of clothes like in a store. And when they come together, we have a prayer group, a support group. It's a group to learn. We learn how to sell. We learn things for self-care. So different topics. And when we are together, we also have a special time for them. A different time that it's different from their own environment. And then what we do with them is that they take 100 pieces of clothes or 50, and guess what they do? They sell these clothes in their communities. So they are generating income for them and their families. And what they can do with this income is buy food for their families or pay the utilities. So it's a way for them to have a second opportunity, not just for the clothes, but also for they and their families. So this is New Life Store, and these are the two initiatives we have right now, among others. But you are more than welcome to connect with us. You can pray for us, as you have been doing. You can also come and visit us. You can contact the mission team here, the mission committee, and let us know if you want to come next year or this year. I know it's a short time, but yeah, just let us know. And also, yeah, there are different ways to connect with us. And we are very blessed for what you have done with us, for praying for us and for supporting our ministry in Colombia. So yeah. Thank you so much. And Daniel will continue. Sharing the word, and I can pray for him. Yeah.
Yes, please.
And I will do it in Spanish, if that's okay. Okay. Gracias, Señor, por este día. Gracias por este tiempo en que podemos estar aquí en Lakeside Church. Padre, gracias por la oportunidad de servirte en Colombia, pero también gracias por la oportunidad de servir junto a mis hermanos, aquí y allá. Ahora oro por Daniel, para que tú lo bendigas, para que tu Espíritu Santo hable a través de él y que tu palabra, Señor, llegue a cada corazón y que en tu tiempo dé fruto. En el nombre de Jesús, amén.
Thank you. So if you got most of what she said, you are more than ready to come to Colombia. It was half-half. You still can come. If not, probably a good time to download Duolingo in your smartphones and start practicing. No, but really, we want to encourage you to continue praying for us and supporting us, but also we are extending an invitation for you to come. And you could see by yourself what the Lord is doing in Colombia. And I'm pretty sure you're going to be a blessing for Colombians and churches over there when they're going to visit. So for today's sermon, well, if you invite a missionary to give or to share the word, or to give a sermon, chances are he's going to speak about mission. So we have a saying in Colombia, says that, well, if you are a hammer, everything you see is nails, probably. So, of course, if you invite a missionary, he's going to talk about mission. It's so interesting that, well, last Sunday we were celebrating at the church, we were attending Pentecost Day. And pretty much Pentecost Day, it's the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus that he wasn't going to let his disciples to be alone, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And connecting it a bit with what we are experiencing here, celebrating Father's Day, such an amazing gift from a father to his children. They both, the father and the son, sent the Holy Spirit upon the church. And they were in an upper room, and as the story goes in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came upon them as a wind, and tongues of fire started to appear, and they went out and started to proclaim in every language there was the marvels and the blessings that God was going to pour upon the world. So in a way, it's interesting that even as the start of the church, even when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they immediately did something. And when we start to think about what mission means and how is it connected with us as Christians, well, we have to start with the very definition of the word, because missio in Latin, the origin of the word, means to send, to go. And if we see all over the scripture, we see a God that is constantly going. And that's, in this way, we can see that God is a missionary God. He's someone who he's always going. From Genesis 1, he's pouring his spirit, he's going, he's walking, he's in constant motion. So it's no surprise for us that when we as a community of faith were born on Pentecost Day many years ago, we were also sent to move, to be on a mission. So when they received the Holy Spirit, they immediately went out of the door of the upper room and started to preach on the streets and to talk to everybody they could. And this means that because God is a missionary, we are also a missional community. It's a community that's sent. And pretty much, if you can define what mission is, we can say it simply. Mission informs the why of the church. Sometimes we reflect on the what. So yes, we were singing today how loved we are. That's important. We celebrate and we worship the Lord because what he has done for us. We have been receiving love, mercy, grace, compassion. But that's not the only reason why we are here. In other words, we are not only here to receive, we are here to also give to others. That's why we're a missional community, because God is pouring all this in this community of people, so this community of people can go into the world and bless the world. It brings me to the story of Abraham. He goes on a night, he steps out of his tent, and he's looking at the stars, right? And he's looking at all these stars, and the Lord says to him, "Can you count them?" He said, "Well, no, it's impossible." "Well, I'm going to bless you in the same manner. Your descendants are going to be infinite." And he says some beautiful words to Abraham in that moment, and he says, "I'm going to bless you." But the other part of what the Lord says, it's very important for us to understand, because it's something that sometimes we forget. That Abraham was blessed, but the Lord also said to him, "I'm blessing you, but you are going to be a blessing for all the families on the earth." And sometimes when the church loses that perspective, our mission perspective becomes blurred. We start to think in terms of, we are the community that is blessed, but there are no blessings for others. But in reality, if we understand our essence as a community, we're going to see the others as the field or the people who are going to be blessed by God through us. So we are a missional community sent by a missional God. But even when we reflect on what mission is, the experience we have with mission can be similar to what we experience with our smartphones or our iPhones. If you can go to the next one. So our missional experience can be similar to our iPhone experience. And what I mean by this is that if you are like me, you would probably use this amazing machine in a very limited way. Do you know that you have in your hands, like even if you don't have an iPhone but a regular smartphone, you have a machine more powerful than the machine that sent people to the moon many years ago? Incredible capacity. And yet, we only probably use 10, 15% of everything that it can be used to. So if you are like me, you will use it to receive, send calls, pretty much send a message if you have WhatsApp or you send messages, instant messaging, blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty sure you are using it for social media as well. But then there are other things that this machine can do. For instance, I didn't know that you can actually measure walls. You can measure a lot of things with this. I mean, the capabilities are endless, and yet we have a limited vision of how this can be used. And sometimes that can be our perspective on mission. We know what mission is. We know certain things about mission, but maybe we have a limited vision of what the implications of missions are. So I would love to share with you and this sharing of the missional approach from the gospel is what informs the great commissions. It's not that we have great commissions per se, but we have a mission with different perspectives that inform that mission. And I would love to share with you some of these perspectives. It's something that we have been talking in the church in Colombia with the pastors and leaders. We are reflecting upon this, and I would love to share this with you as well. The next one, please. So again, in the gospel, we are blessed because we find four different perspectives. This doesn't mean that mission is only contained in the gospels. This means that all over the scriptures, you have a different perspective on mission. But today, because we have limited time, we're only going to probably pick on those four. Because when we were invited to preach, they said you have to do it Canadian style, not South American or Latin American style, which means that the person who is in front of you has unlimited time to go on and on and on. So because we don't want to be here until 4 p.m., then we're going to do it Canadian style. So we're going to be limited on time. And I have, beside the clock I have over here, I have also have my wife who will probably start to look at me in a not pleasant way if I go beyond the allotted time for you. But I would love to share with you four perspectives on the gospel that we find in the scripture. So the theologians have defined them as the Matthean, Markian, Lucan, and Johnian. It's pretty much what you find in those gospels over there. So can we start with Matthew? So Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. I didn't put them there, but you can find them in your Bible. And it says, and well, hopefully this version that I found is a good one, so you could understand. It's the one I could understand, so being a Spanish speaker. So it says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age.'" I know that this is probably the version of the mission that if you have spent quite some time at church, you know. But beyond the emphasis on making disciples, I would love to connect two terms that are here that are fundamental for our understanding of what mission is. And the commission starts with a very simple and basic verb, and that verb is go. Now, in our reflection in the Colombia Insurance, we have realized that we have changed that verb, or that we have misunderstood how this verb works in terms of mission. For many years, churches in Colombia have been pondering on one question that is, we thought it was missional, but maybe it was fundamentally wrong. Because the question that most churches we work with in the past have been doing is, how do we get people to come to church? Have you heard that one? And sometimes our activities, even our budget, is informed by this question. So we're here thinking, how do we get people to come to church? And we start to think, okay, we have to do this, this, this. But if you look at what the verb means and who it said, you are going to understand that the goal is not for the people outside. Jesus told to his disciples, go. So the fundamental question needs to change if we are to be a missional community. It's not how do people come to us. If we understand the great commission that Jesus is telling us, the question that should be in our minds and hearts is how do we go to where people is? And believe me, it seems like a simple question, but if you really think about it, it changes everything. It changes the way we act as a community, the activities we do, the way we even spend our money. Because if we're a missional community, we are functioning, thinking, okay, so how do we go to where people is? So we are here sitting down. We are receiving so much blessing. But then the very next question that we should be doing is, as I am blessed, how I am blessing others around me? Because the one who received the commission to go, it's me, not people around. So I'm the one who needs to move to where people is. The second term that is very interesting in this passage is the word them. Jesus said to them. So what's interesting is that it's not something that Jesus, okay, so I'm going to sit down with Peter and probably I'm going to give instruction to Peter and then with John and then with the other ones. No. It was a shared calling to them. It was a community calling. In other words, it's impossible to do God's mission alone. There's no such thing as someone thinking, I'm going to do God's mission, but I'm going to disregard my brothers and sisters over here, and even I'm going to disregard what other churches are doing, either in Canada or the rest of the world, because we have been commissioned to go together. We are to go together. You have to do it with other people. That's the meaning of the word he said to them. So it was a community calling. And it's not, and Lakeside is a church that is thinking not only in the terms of the community over here, but also it's partnering with other churches like in Colombia around the world, because we understand that it's about them. And our very New Testament, the Bible we have here, is a testament of how well the early church understood this. Let me give you an example. Let's think about the church in the Philippian church. In Philippus, I think that's the term in English. Well, Paul sent a letter to them, right? You can go on scripture and read in the New Testament the letter to the Philippians. Have you ever considered what would have happened if the Philippians said, oh, well, this letter that Paul sent is only for us and not for everybody else? It says to the Philippians. Are you a Philippian? No? Okay, so you can read it. What about Corinthians? What about the other letters of the Bible? So it's a testament of how the early church understood the them in the Great Commission. That everything we have is a blessing to us, but it should be a blessing for others as well. And as we share as a global church and we strive to do this Great Commission together, then we are going to be able to do it effectively because we have understood the elements over here. So it's not just about thinking about what go means, it's also understanding what them means. And then again, we are inviting you to Colombia. That's part of the them in this Great Commission of Matthew over here and his perspective of what the Great Commission is. The next one we found is in Mark. It's another layer or dimension of what mission means. So Mark, it's very interesting because the scope in the Great Commission here changes. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 20, it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The interesting thing is that the approach changes because it's not just for human beings, this issue of the gospel. Now Mark changes the perspective and he's not talking about disciples who disciple others anymore. Now we're looking at a mission that looks like the renovation of all creation again. That means that the gospel shouldn't only be preached to human beings. The gospel is good news for the environment, is good news for all creation. And it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out again and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. What's important for Mark is not only the proclamation of the gospel to all creation. The emphasis of Mark or the Markian perspective of mission is that the gospel is something that needs to be seen, experienced. There needs to be evidence and sign of what the truth of the gospel is. It reminds me of the story of Jesus and a couple of friends who they were so interested in a friend who was paralytic to come to Jesus, that they were able, they actually broke a ceiling just to get this person to Jesus, if you remember the story. And as he lays down, the very first thing that Jesus said to this man is, "Your sins are forgiven." And of course, everybody started to say, "Well, what's this guy talking about? That's something that only God can do." But then Jesus said something really fascinating. He says, "In order for you to believe, to have the evidence of the transformation, so you understand that the gospel of the kingdom is not just a mere idea or a philosophy, then I say to you, rise and walk." Brothers and sisters, our gospel needs to be evident to people. That's Mark's perspective. It's not just words or beautiful idea. No, it has an impact, a transformative impact in holistic ways, in every day. In other words, it's not just enough to proclaim the gospel. We need to demonstrate the gospel. The next picture is going to probably connect you a bit what it means. By the way, there's, I think, commercial time. Very grateful for Lakeside Church and particularly our friends from Water Ambassadors Canada. If you are here and you have contributed, what we have done together, it's amazing. Through Water Ambassadors Canada, Lakeside Church, and our ministry, we have partnered with local churches all over Colombia to provide safe water, sometimes for the first time in history, to communities. This is actually a picture of that. It's in a place called Chocó. It's one of the poorest regions in the continent, I would say. Through this work we have been doing together, many communities for the first time in history have safe water. But what's interesting in this story is that sometimes when I go to communities, I love to talk to people who are not Christians. So it's not just connecting with the local church, but the community as well. And one of the very first trips to this region, I talked to a community leader, and she was very happy about what was happening, of course. But she said something interesting that I think I've shared this with you over the years, probably in the bulletins or the letters we send, but it's something that has stuck in our mind. She said the following. She said, "Now we cannot only hear about God's love. Now we can drink God's love." Have you imagined ever the gospel as something that can be not only heard by people, but experienced by people? Because she is experiencing that. So for her, God's love is not anymore about, "Oh yeah, that's so beautiful, that's such a beautiful story or an idea or a philosophy." No, for her now, God's love is something that she can see, she can look at, she can experience. That's Mark's perspective on mission. Brothers and sisters, our sharing of the gospel needs to be holistic. It's not just the words, it's the demonstration of God's love. Now, in this community, they have the evidence. It's not just the hearsay. Oh, yeah, we hear God's love loves us. But now they can see the evidence. It's true that God loves us. Why? Because we have safe water. And it's done through God's people. Let's go to Luke. Now, Luke is interesting because Luke, it's the only one that is sharing about mission that actually says to people, "Stay." Everybody is speaking about going. Luke is the only one who said, "Wait a minute. Before you go, just make sure you have two elements that are very important for mission." In Luke 24, verses 44 and 49, it says, "He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So Luke's perspective on mission is actually resembles a bit, or it looks to me like a tree. So as we do mission as a community, we are firmly rooted in Scripture. So the identity of who Jesus is and the truth of Scripture is what grounds us and provides the foundation so we can, as a tree, grow. But at the same time, another important element is that there's no such thing as doing God's mission without God's empowerment to do so. Sometimes when we think about mission, we can be probably mistaken in thinking, oh, I'm supposed to do this on my own strengths, capacities. Well, let me tell you, that's impossible. And this is not to discourage you, but actually the opposite, is that you are not supposed to do this alone. It's like my kids, when they go out to play and all that, they will run and then they will remember, oh, but we're going alone. And they will turn, Daddy, are you coming with us? When we do mission, church, when we strive to serve God, we cannot do it alone in our own strength or capacities. What Luke is telling us is that before we do mission, we have to acknowledge that we have to be firmly rooted on Scripture, but at the same time acknowledging that as we cannot do it alone, we need the Spirit of God with us, empowering us. Sometimes when the churches and the leaders in Colombia are fearful, what inspires them to continue is the presence of God among them. My friend Alexander from Chocó experienced that recently. In the next picture, you will see him. In Chocó, in particular, it's an interesting dynamic because it's the home for the largest Afro-descendant community and at the same time, the largest indigenous groups live there. But sometimes these communities are in conflict. In a place called Novita, people ask Pastor Alexander to lead a reconciliation process to connect with these indigenous groups that were living. And he said, but we have been conflicting over years. How on earth am I going to do this? But the community insisted so much, but could you be like the bridge? Could you go and talk? I said, but what am I even going to say? I don't know. So you know what he did? He remembered, looked, I'm not supposed to do this alone. He kneeled and prayed, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say to these people to make them work with us together to reconcile. I don't know what I'm going to say, but you do know what to say. And as the story goes, when Alexander is going to meet them, the very first meeting, he's so surprised because he sees this indigenous leader welcome him with a smile and open arms. Like, come on, pastor. And he said, I have to stop you here because I'm a bit surprised that the reception has been so good in light of everything that has happened over the years. And the indigenous leader said to him, Pastor, you know what? I've been waiting for you. I don't know how, but I felt in my mind and heart that I should welcome you and hear of what you have to say. Brothers and sisters, it's the Spirit acting in us, but also beyond us. If we are to do God's mission, if we are going to do that and demonstrate and proclaim and demonstrate that to people, we cannot forget ever that we are not supposed to do this alone. And last but not least, John. I love John. Actually, my first kid's name is Juan Daniel. Juan in Spanish is John, because I love John's perspective on things. It's my favorite gospel of how he explains. And John's perspective is so intimate, so interesting, because it's not just about the activities per se. Actually, John cares about the essence of mission. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we strive to do mission from a place of probably superiority, pride. But then John is careful enough to inform us that it's not only important what you do, it's important how you do it and the spirit that you do it with and the heart you do it with. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22 says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hand and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" What's beautiful about this account is that sometimes we think that mission is done when everything is right with us. Here we find that's not true. The disciples are actually very scared and hiding. They're in a vulnerable place. But in that place of vulnerability is where the Lord connects with them. Jesus arrives not in the best moments we have. He often arrives in the very worst moments we are experiencing, in our place of vulnerability, and then he calls us. But what's important also is that the way he sends them is similar to his own experience. And it's interesting that in doing so, he's showing them his hands and his feet have been pierced. Brothers and sisters, it's a place of vulnerability sometimes. It's not when everything is right, I'm going to do mission. That doesn't really happen often. And we have experienced that in the Colombian church many, many years. It's not because we are perfect or better Christians. It's because we have learned to be resilient even in the face of danger. We have understood what the meaning of doing mission from a place of vulnerability. But the most important thing is that we cannot do God's mission without God's heart for people. It's not just about doing nice things for people that we're going to transform. It's doing that with the eyes and hearts of Jesus. The next picture, I think, resembles perfectly what this means. The people who are sitting down over here are migrants arriving from Venezuela, and they have walked for miles. And sometimes, in their experience, because they have walked for so long, their feet were, or their shoes were completely destroyed, and the feet were hurting and bleeding. The guys over there at the right is a person or it's a group of people called Carpa Esperanza, a group of youth that decided to go and serve on the roads to these people, to welcome them, to give them a hug, and to serve them. When I arrived for the first time to this place near the border between Colombia and Venezuela, I was shocked when I see this picture over here. And afterward, when I was talking to them with Juan and the rest of the leaders over there, "Guys, why did you decide to do this?" He said, "Well, we are praying and looking at ways to serve, and we decided to serve as Jesus would." So when we saw this, the very first thing we thought was, well, if Jesus were here, he probably would be the one washing feet for people. So they started to receive people, wash their feet, care for them, pray for them and all that. And I'm here contemplating, and I'm so amazed and praying in that very same moment, saying, "Lord, what a privilege to experience. I mean, if you were here, this is what you would be doing." And I felt in my heart that the Lord told me, "Well, actually, Daniel, I am here doing it because I am in them." Church, to finish up, sometimes we, even as leaders, as a leader, we pray sometimes for, please, God, give encouragement to people so they can serve at church. And here we are always inviting people, please serve. We have so many things to do. Please, you have to do this and do this. You know what? My prayer has changed over time. I'm praying for God to send more people to the field because we need all the hands we can get for God's mission. But my prayer has changed somewhat because now I'm praying, you know what, Lord? First and foremost, please give your people your mind. Please give people your eyes. If they don't have your eyes, they will see the need and not do anything about it. But if your people, if your people really have your eyes for how you look at people, they won't hesitate to go. We won't even need to start pushing people, please serve. No, if they have Jesus' mind for people, if people have Jesus' eyes for people, we won't even need to push them to do things. They will do that naturally because Jesus' life is in them. Brothers and sisters, we don't need better versions of ourselves. What we need is Jesus' eyes and minds and hearts. So let's pray for that. Father, as we look at these four perspectives on the gospel, we are amazed on the different layers, perspectives, challenges. Thank you because you are with us. We have been empowered to go, but we are not alone in doing so. But Lord, as we go, please give us not a better sight with these eyes, but your eyes to see people. Not a clever mind of our own, but your mind, how you think about people, how you are always in the service of the people in need. Please give us your heart so our heart can feel the pain of others and can be moved to do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen.